one more added to it is slow down and talk about it. And that's rich, because they want to change it from a 10 year term to a 10.
I'm Yeah, I do, but
like,
Clint. It's Aubrey. It's Clint. Is that on? Should be.
Okay, welcome. We don't have a mic system, so anybody who's going to speak has to speak really loud. Can you hear me in the back? Yes? Okay, all right. I don't know how long I can keep up talking this loud, but I'll give it a shot. Thank you for joining us for the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board meeting for October 5th, 2017. This is our funding meeting. So we're excited to finalize all these projects. I think we need to discuss a few of them. We have a couple things to go over with upcoming meeting dates and locations. Candace, what's our story there?
In November, we will be meeting in Moab at the Red Cliffs Lodge. That's the 9th. Normally, the CIB meets the first Thursday. That would be the second Thursday. And Chris has gathered all of your lodging information. So please, if you haven't given it to her, I think she has most of them, contact her after the meeting. The December meeting, again, will be here. And thank you for accommodating this space, but we are looking into a sound system being retrofitted in this building, in this room. So there will be, there is expected to be mics and speakers so that Jonathan doesn't have to yell. There, in your red packet, there's a list of the applications that we received. This is the final funding meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2018. The second trimester applications are in, and it will accommodate two meetings. It is anticipated that there will still be a December meeting on the 14th, and that January would be canceled. But if the board wants to affirm that decision, then there will not be a January meeting. And the funding meeting will again be in February. This is the first funding meeting of fiscal year 2018, and this beginning of board docs, so that is at the end of this meeting. We will have a board docs representative, a vacuum chair, and he will answer all of your questions. And if he doesn't, he'll find out for you, or I will. And I hope you've had an opportunity to log in. On page 1-1-1, there are 19 projects listed for board funding today, indicated in yellow, on both the printed copy and in your board docs. And there are two pending projects that are also listed in yellow that will be discussed today. North Logan City has withdrawn their request. There are also some projects on this that will require discussion, but when we get to those, the chairman will not do a group authorization and will let the applicants discuss the variations and the reconsideration that they're requesting. In your red folder, there's also a new rainbow sheet that reflects the closeout of fiscal year 2017, so it does look a little different. There are some jockeying for positions there, and Uinta County is still at the top. The purpose of this board is legislatively intended, so thank you for your service, and always remember to look at those. If there are any questions or concerns about what is in your red packet, please let us know. And if you want something else in the red packet, let us know. But this red packet may be going away as we go digital. But all of the things that we would have normally put in a red packet will be, as soon as we receive them, they will be in the board docs, so you can access it at any time during the month and see what is new. If we put anything new in there, we'll shoot you a quick email saying new stuff. That's it.
Okay.
You want to go to finance review?
Question
of Commissioner Adams.
I just want to say that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'd like to remind the board. My wife had breast cancer surgery 3 years ago. She's been breast cancer free now for 3 years. They tell us at Huntsman Cancer Center if she can get to the 5-year mark, she's about 99% sure that she will not get breast cancer again. But I've become very aware of breast cancer and the battle that women go through with breast cancer. And I just wanted to remind the board that this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And if you feel like you can, we have a world-class facility in Utah at Huntsman Cancer Center, and I'm sure they would take a donation if anybody feels like they could. I'd like to put in a request for the CIB board to... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We'll do our financial review, Candace.
The mineral lease fund summary, and by the way, that is a nice pink tie. The mineral lease review reflects two numbers in the revenue and the balance. That $10 million number is the monies that were brought back. Still, it hasn't been clear about how to show that or what you want to do. So there has been no funding accommodated out of that amount. So it stands, so as you see a $3 million deficit, it really isn't, because there is the $10 million that needs to be utilized. The issue is, we were supposed to, as a board, the board had authorized at least $5 million out of that in loan, and as you can see, the board has not authorized $5 million in loan. There's $4,480,000. So there is sufficient funding going forward. I would probably like to combine the two numbers so that you are clear that you do have money to authorize. We're almost at the $5 million required mark when the money was brought back into the main mineral lease account. But that is a board decision. You'd let us know. We can combine the two, and all of the loans will, you know, going forward, will accommodate that lack of $520,000 to get to the $5 million mark. We have plenty of money to loan. Even if we fund everything as requested at this meeting, there is still a bonus fund balance that is significant. So, whenever you can, work with the applicants and modify maybe loan rates, and it is up to the board to do that so that we can put that money to work for a good project. And there is still an infrastructure fund balance, and that's even after the $10 million has been put back in the account. The throughput monies, last year they were all being accommodated correctly, legislatively, but the legislation needs to be tweaked a little bit, because now Brenda, our finance person, is still accommodating what is required to go to UDOT to make that throughput infrastructure fund. But it's not being pulled out as it comes in. So she's accommodating that. And that will continue to get more funding. The balance of the infrastructure set aside to date is $32,965,932. So it's not quite up at the 53, but at the end of fiscal year 18, it is supposed to be at the $53 million mark.
Any questions on the financial report? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It changes the agenda.
Okay, just to quickly review the agenda items, we have, and I'd just like to get this out of the way and get it on the agenda if, for consideration. There's a special consideration project for Kingledge City Culinary Water Well. This requires the board to approve it for placement on the agenda and discussion. Is there a motion to do that?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Councilman Farrell and a second from Commissioner Lytle to place the Kingledge City for discussion on our agenda for special consideration. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that'll be the last thing we discuss. We'll get to the rest of our items here. We'll start with the welcome and introductions for our meeting, and we'll go around the horn, starting with Commissioner Winterton.
Commissioner Ron Winterton, Duchesne County, representing Duchesne County.
Jim Mastin, Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
I'm Sonia Norton. I'm the Vernal City Mayor, and I represent UN County.
And I'm Jesse Nadia, representing UDOT Commissioner. I'm St. George.
Chris Reed, Avenue Assistant at HPD.
Candace Powers, Community Impact Fund Manager.
Good morning. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm the Director of the Community Development Office here at Housing Community Development.
Jonathan Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Good morning, David Dampson, State Treasurer.
Tom Roberts with Utah Attorney General's Office. I act as legal advisor to the board.
Jack Lionel, Dagger County Commissioner, representing the Basin Association Government.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Commissioner Peter Ogden, representing Seward County and the AOG, 610 AOG.
I think we have another attorney for us. Thank you. Just a reminder, if you walk in and haven't signed in, there is a sign-in sheet, and we would appreciate you putting your name there that you have attended this meeting as part of our minutes. And speaking of minutes, we'll go on to our next item, which is the approval of the minutes. They've been in your packet. Open for any corrections or a motion to approve.
Mm-hmm.
A motion to approve the minutes by Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Mattson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes passed unanimously. So we'll get, we're going to kind of go back and forth a little bit on this. We had the town of Holden as our first project on the priority list, and there's a modification that's being requested. Is anybody from the town of Holden here to come and speak about this? Okay, come on up. Candace, you want to give us a brief review of what this looks like?
The town of Holden has requested some a $40,000 grant for a fire storage building. They had been holding on and hoping to get that done, and the bids were a little bit stale, so they have rebid them, and there is a little bit higher bid. So the town of Holden, for their fire storage building, is requesting a $50,000 grant instead of the $40,000. They still have the $40,000 match from the fire district.
Correct.
And we will let Holden Town speak to that.
Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah.
And introduce yourself, please,
okay,
for the record.
I'm Rod Dastrup. I'm the fire chief of Holden Fire Department, and I'm representing the fire department on this matter. And, yeah, since we started this, the cost from what it originally was till now have gone up. The building cost has gone up an additional $4,000 or $5,000. The concrete from a year ago to now has gone up, so it's made our bid a little higher than it was before. Right now, our bid stands at $88,653. So that's why we're asking an additional $10,000 to help with the extra cost of things, going up on the building and the concrete and other things that have gone up since we started this project.
Any questions from the board?
agreement.
Yes.
The applicant, is it now the special service district? Is that what we were looking at?
All that has been changed. So the property have been changed back to Holden County. That's from the last meeting. It has been taken care of, and we ratified that in August, and everything's been taken care of.
Other questions? So on the priority list, it was approved as a $40,000 grant. The request before us was to increase that to a $50,000 grant. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve the $50,000.
There's a motion by Mr. Zanotti to approve a $50,000 grant. Is there a second? A second from Commissioner Ogden. Is there any further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? If that carries unanimously, so that will be funded. You'll be in touch with the staff, and they'll get working on it.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it, members.
Our next item, Centerfield City, $280,000 project for the CIB, $140,000, this was on the priority list, $140,000 grant, $140,000 20-year loan at 2.5%. Is there a motion to approve and fund that? So the motion by Commissioner Ogden. Is there a second? Second from Commissioner Mapson. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. This next one, Cedar City. I think we have a request on this one to do a slight modification. So, Candace, is there anybody from Cedar City here? All right, come on up. We'll let Candace do a brief review and any questions that we can answer on this.
The board authorized a $1,265,000 30-year at 2.5% loan for a new animal shelter for Cedar City. They have gone back because their request had been half grant, half loan, and in doing their analysis of this funding package, they have requested a deferral of the first payments, and I will let them speak to the size of the deferral.
Good morning. My name is Paul Pittman. I'm the city manager for Cedar City. Last time the board was gracious enough to have us here, one of the biggest questions from the board members is, will your sister governments locally participate in the payment? We worked with Enoch City a lot throughout the summer months. Their council voted to not participate with us. They're going to do something on their own. Iron County has been somewhat difficult to get an answer from. We had a couple false starts. We're approaching them again Monday. I don't know what they're going to do. So the request today is to defer the first payment. If you look back at our package, we have some loans that are paid out of our general operating fund. Three of them. One of them is very substantial, and they're set to retire in 2021. The request is to defer the first payment until 2021. We would incur the interest, that's fine. Go ahead with the building, and then we start repaying in 2021.
Any questions from the board on that request?
So it's the same amount being requested with a deferral.
Right, so that's a $1.265 million loan, 30 years, 2.5%. The request is just to defer payments to begin in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Bill, yes.
I think I heard it was okay to approve the interest. Is that part of the Candace and I have to put this in the loan authorization?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cedar City has been informed that interest will accrue at the time of closing. And the first payment will not be due until 2021.
Okay, I have a motion to approve from Treasurer Damson and a second from Commissioner Winterton. That's to a $1.265 million, 30-year loan, 2.5%, payments deferred to 2021, but interest will accrue. Yes, Tom?
I was going to indicate, the board always doesn't see this. It is my understanding that actually this transaction is going to be to the Municipal Building Authority, and so there will be a lease from the city to the Municipal Building Authority, which will mean, which will authorize them to incur the debt. Otherwise, they would have, without a revenue source, they would have to have a general obligation bond. Past practices of the board, and through its explicit allowance, I assume it hasn't changed, allows staff in this circumstance to change the name of the applicant. Where the applicant gets changed from the actual city or county to a municipal building authority. Other than that, the staff does not have the authority to change the applicant or change the conditions that the board approves. But in this limited circumstance, the staff is authorized. The board ought to be aware that with any loan, there either needs to be a general obligation, a vote of the people, or a dedicated revenue source to cover it. And so we didn't see that, nobody talked about it, but there will be a municipal building authority which will actually build a building. The city will lease from that at the end of the time. The city will own the building, pursuant to the municipal building act.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Yes, this is Nadi.
Paul, when you decided to get some kind of confirmation from Iron County, will that change the whole scenario again? What are you going to proceed?
So our discussions with Iron County has been along these lines. They have a very small facility that's located
too far. Right?
Yeah, way out of town. Our facility that we propose to build is large enough to accommodate their needs currently. We would go to the county and say, for capital expenses, here's a proportionate share, and their share would be far smaller than ours. So, yes, it would change the total amount. We're also doing some fundraising. We hope to raise, we're very optimistic on fundraising. We hope to raise a lot of money, and we hope when we come to close, we close at a lower amount.
And the last time I talked to Mayor Wilson, she indicated that maybe the lower interest rate, but you decided to go for this deferred thing. That's
I talked to staff.
Okay.
Staff said you really need to have a genuine hardship to go for a lower interest rate.
Okay.
And we racked our brains and we didn't have one.
Good job. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we've got, let's do items 4 and 5 together. Any further discussion as presented on these?
Yes.
Okay.
Is 5 the Grand County Jackson Street drainage?
Yes.
I'd like to revisit that one.
Okay, so let's go to just item 4 right now, Tridell LaPointe Water Improvement District, $22,500 grant.
Motion
to approve from Commissioner Winterton and a second from Councilman Farrell. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Okay, item 5, Grand County Municipal Building Authority.
Do we have anybody here from Grand?
Is there anybody representing this? Okay, come on up. Would you just please introduce yourself first, and then we'll turn it over to Commissioner Adams for a question.
I'm Daylen Hodge, Grand County Council. I grew up in Salt Lake Valley, so I love being here, and now I'm going.
Bill Jackson, Grand County, also with the Road Fund.
When we talked about this particular project, I think there was some items that were a little bit unclear. There was a feeling among some of the board members that the Grand County Council was seeking only a loan, not a a grant on this. And I think they have a letter from the Grand County Council clarifying that. Would you?
Well, no. Mr. Evans, what we have is a letter from UDOT.
Yeah, I knew you had one from UDOT also.
Yeah, I'm not aware of a letter from
okay.
the council.
Anyway, so this is not necessarily an emergency until it rains. But when it rains in Moab, which it doesn't do very often, most of you have been there, there's a lot of rock. And it's amazing how water just runs off the rocks. And in this particular area, it runs down this street, Jackson Street Drainage. And it becomes an emergency event because, you know, there's so much water that congregates here or flows into here. And what Mr. Jackson's trying to do is create a drainage basin that they can collect that water in until it can dissipate and leave. And they were very, very judicious about trying to put away some money to treat this project, and they've got $241,000 put away, but these events have occurred often enough that they need to do something about it now rather than 5 more years down the road putting so much money in this fund to deal with this event. And even UDOT they have a letter from UDOT from the region. The region people have come out and helped when they have these events on this street. It's a problem, and it's, you know, nobody wants their home flooded, but there's some danger of people's homes getting flooded with this event. And I think, you know, we're going to look at a project a little bit later from Duchesne County Water Conservancy, where they had saved up some money for some projects, 130 some thousand, and they came in and asked for a grant, and we gave them the grant. So I just think we're a little inconsistent by requiring Grand County to come up with a loan when they've done their best to save this money to take care of this this problem, and it's going to happen again just as soon as it rains. You know what the forecast is? I think next week, isn't it?
Next week.
Yeah, it's always next week.
We had a good one on September 14th.
Yeah, so I just, I'm just kind of pleading with the board. Let's be a little bit consistent. I'm not saying let's go back and make Duchesne Water Conservancy take a loan. No, I'm okay with them having the grant, but I think in fairness to Grand County and the fact that this really turns into an emergency event when it rains, that we make this a grant and not a loan, and we'll be consistent. And I would make a motion that we do that at this time.
So, Mr. Adams' motions were $242,000 grant. Is that correct?
Yes.
You hear a second?
30 grant. Years, two and a half. No.
So, there were three items that we discussed last time. I guess they were supposed to come up with the answer. I don't know if Councilwoman can say that or not.
Can you hang tight just a second?
Sorry.
The motion on the table and a second from Commissioner Winnington now. Please, yes, Mr. Zanotti.
We have the uncertainty of the BLM, safety of the dam, and environmental. Have you resolved those issues already?
I'm not sure what the issues are. We have the go-ahead from the BLM. We have the permitting right now for our geotech, and they assured us when we get that design put together, so they know exactly what is going to be built there, then we'll get a Title V right away on that. And should be no problem with the BLM officer. They're on board. And of course, the environmental would be with the design elements of it and following the BLM's requirements for environmental. The EAs they want me to do on it, they really need that design before they can do that.
Further questions on that motion? I do want to bring up in the discussion, since you opened up Pandora's box for me, which is a matter of consistency, because I think we could probably look throughout this entire agenda and probably look at inconsistencies in the application of
that's what we're most consistent about.
Yeah, right? We're consistent about inconsistency. So
high five, everyone.
I think when we get in talking about, you know, loans versus grants, I mean, I think all of these are good, worthy projects that communities have worked hard for and prioritized as part of their, you know, capital improvement list or whatever they are planning for. You know, my personal opinion is if a community can afford a loan, they should take a loan. That's my personal opinion on it. Mm-hmm. We've got, other instances, and I know we had this withdrawn, North Logan City, where they came in asking for a $40,000 grant. I know they're a zero producer. But, you know, we have Rich County also on our agenda that barely produces anything, and they got a $2.2 million grant as part of those things. So those things are, like, wildly inconsistent in my mind. And I've certainly gotten a lot of feedback from communities about the inconsistency. And, for the benefit of the communities, it would probably be better to have a little more consistent application or some parameters under which we decide a loan versus grant or, you know, approval or denial or what we will consider, what we won't consider. I think that would save everybody a lot of time on these particular issues. But, again, we want to sustain the fund. So in my opinion, loans, if they can't afford a loan, they should take a loan, probably in almost all circumstances. If I ever end up voting, which I actually had to in this one, that's kind of the side I end up voting on is for loans if the community can afford it. But it is kind of a worthy item for discussion, so I'm interested to hear all your thoughts on this. Go back to Commissioner Adams.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Jonathan, but I'm telling you, coming from a small county where there's not much tax base, and Rich County certainly is a small county with not any tax base, Paiute County, a lot of these counties, they don't have these businesses that they can draw tax on, like North Logan or Salt Lake or Davis or some of the urban areas. We have huge amount of services to provide. My county is 5 million acres. 92% of it is federal property. So we do get some payment in lieu of tax. I wish we could get Greenbelt on all of it. You know, we'd bolster our tax base considerably. So I think the board's been pretty careful about the fact that this board is set up to help these smaller communities and these real rural counties. I just don't see North Logan as being a rural county or a producer. These counties that do produce and have very small amount of taxes that they can't even collect. You know, it'd be great if certain outdoor industry people had moved some things to San Juan County and start some businesses down there so that we could have a bigger tax base. But as I spoke with Councilman Wells and with Mr. Jackson, they really can't afford to take a loan on this, and that's why they have come to me and asked me if I wouldn't ask for reconsideration on it. They, in order to make this thing happen in a timely fashion, they need the grant.
So the other thing, we talked about this a little bit in our board retreat, and you can see we have a large growing balance in the bonus fund.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, you know, if we don't have demand from a lot of these communities for a loan product. And so we have this huge fund growing, which we have no other ability other than to issue loans out of that account. And, you know, we have no demand for it. And so if we're not getting it from those communities, who are we going to get it from? I think that's kind of a question that we should think about in the long-term scheme of things about how we get loans out the door, because that's the issue we're struggling with as a board right now, in my opinion.
Okay.
Mr. Winterton.
Going back to being consistent, I mean, this is a producing county, and I think that in the past it's always been that they didn't qualify for 0% interest, and here another board makes a 2.5%, and I think we're not consistent there. Mm-hmm. If anything, if we're going to have to pay a loan back, 0%. But when an entity comes in with half the money, we're only at 50% risk on the project instead of 100% when you do a loan. So, in my opinion, we need to be consistent in recognizing that they do qualify for it. I think they do qualify for grants, and they're the ones that put it back in this round here. So, I'm all for consistency.
Any further discussion to the motion on the table? Mayor Norton.
I'm still trying to figure everything out, so I'm learning, and bear with me if I offend anyone. I don't mean to, but my understanding when I came into this was it's money, mineral rich money that came from these producing counties, and that's the priority, is to go back to these mineral producing communities for the impact that they are sustaining. I'm seeing it like a shotgun approach. It looks like it's everywhere across the state. We're giving out grants and money and funding, and I'm not quite understanding what our mission is, because some of these communities I feel for them, some of these really small towns that have these issues come up, but I'm not understanding where our role is in that. I feel like we are definitely more for the mineral producing counties. I want to help the whole state if we can. I agree with the loans if possible. But the hardest part for me is when we get their information, I don't know how much more we can do, but if we can do some kind of checking to verify that they can afford the loan. Because I think many cities, they're not lying to us, but they would much rather have a grant than a loan, and they're going to tell us they can afford a loan, and maybe they really could. So I think we need to be able to check that a little bit further somehow to verify if they can accept a loan, especially if they're not a mineral producing community, and use that bonus money more to help them with loans.
So the legislation says we absolutely need to give preference to producing counties. That is in our statutes and legislation on like the criteria for distribution. But there's no, as far as eligible, whatever this board approves is eligible as long as it meets the criteria of the legislation, whether it's for planning or communities, projects, or whatever. So, yes, Tom. Tom will give us the definitive answer.
Tell us what to do, Tom.
Mr. Rogers.
I don't mean to be contrarian, but to respond to the mayor's point with regard to it, this is a state board, and you're representing state interests, you're acting as state officers. This is a statewide program. And the program is not designed to merely return money to the counties. The counties get, by themselves, 40% of all the money they produce goes directly back to the county. So they've already received that direct amount from them.
After the federal government?
Hmm?
Yes.
The federal government.
You spend the money, and then how much comes back from the federal government?
The mineral lease monies are the royalties basically paid to the federal government for the oil and gas project on federal land. Half of that money comes from the state of Utah. And the legislature gets to direct and say where that money goes. And so the legislature said, okay, county where the production came from gets 40% of that half. The impact board gets a third. The rest of it goes to various other types of places. So this board has statewide interests, and it's not merely to take care of the particular county. The statute indicates different factors that you have to take into account, and the board has others that they have decided and realized they need to take into account. And so you do have to take into account the subject, what the production of mineral lease is in the county. Sometimes that might mean they've got more enough money they can do it on their own, so maybe they have to get a loan. Sometimes it would mean, well, they're a producing county, let's give them a grant. Doesn't necessarily mandate they get the money first because they've already gotten 40%. You know, so there is a statewide purpose, and the statute talks about a purpose of maximizing the benefits to the maximum number of people. And so it does expand beyond just the county. the standard for an eligible applicant is if that is directly or indirectly economically or otherwise impacted by it, which probably applies to every place in the state. If, you know, if it's either directly impacted or indirectly impacted by mineral waste development. So you do have those statewide mm-hmm. duties. You do have some duties with regards to consistency, and so making sure that there's a reason for what you do. But you have various factors, and it can be some factors might mean that this entity ought to get a loan, this entity ought to get a grant, even though there's some factors where they're the same. But the combination of all the factors might dictate different results, and that's not necessarily inconsistent because you're looking at various factors. It's a good idea to always be cognizant of. We need to be consistent, we need to be fair, we need to be reasonable, and have a basis for what you do. Hope that wasn't too long to answer your question.
No, and I understand they're on a case by case. We need to look at each application and its merits, but mm-hmm. yeah, I'm trying to still understand exactly how this all works, and that's where I was a little confused. Consistency probably has a lot to do with it, but I'm sure
I appreciate you talking and clarifying. I think that's important, so thank you for your question. Mr. Zanotti.
I want to know the protocol now. In this case that we have, we decided to have a loan last time, and they accepted the idea of the loan they can do, and then, of course, they decided, no, maybe it is not. They can't talk to council. They talk to the maybe people or the board. So what is the protocol? They need to call the staff to refile, or they have to call individually to all of us to say that you could bring it up in the meeting, next meeting. Shouldn't be our job to bring that up. They should be directly communicating with the staff and the CIP saying that we discussed, and the decision of the loan is not going to work without the community. It could be reverse application. What is the problem?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the port protocol, I mean, it's on the priority list, so it can be up for discussion in any funding meeting, and Commissioner Adams, as a board member, is welcome to make a motion of any kind or bring it up for discussion. So I think that's fine. We, of course, would love, you know, to hear these things beforehand because we're better prepared to speak to the projects. Now, this particular application, even what they're talking about now, is the same thing we originally reviewed because they originally requested a grant, so there's not a lot of extra work that would need to be done in that regard, but we can discuss any project on the priority list before making a funding decision on it.
So should come to the staff first so you will have some idea of what is going to be changed or not?
Yeah, we would certainly appreciate that. Do you have a comment, Gail? Do you point to Gail?
No, to clarify that, I appreciate the comment. The staff's function is to facilitate the dissemination of information to the board. And sometimes things come up at the last minute, and Mr. Hardy is absolutely correct in that Commissioner Adams is fully within his purview and his rights and responsibilities and duties to bring these issues up. But the protocol traditionally has been if an applicant is not amenable to the terms that the board has approved coming into a funding meeting, then they should notify staff and request discussion on the agenda with terms that are agreeable to that community, and then that information will be disseminated to all of the board members in advance so that as a board member you can research the information and come prepared to have the discussion and such. And so that is the way things have traditionally been done. That's the way they should be done. That's why we have a staff. But again, I mean, as a board member, you are fully within your rights and your responsibilities to bring things up if you have a concern. So in this case, this is appropriate, but if it is coming from the community, and it does not appear to be the case here, but who knows, then that should be brought to staff, but it can be.
I just don't want to be in a position. I receive a call from someone from any of the communities, and then if I don't agree with that decision, to say to them, oh, I'm not going to do that for you.
Right, yeah.
I'd rather come from the staff to all of us to say, this thing, the vision in the decision of the funding last time, would you please be ready to discuss this matter again? So that way I don't have to say no, so this councilwoman said, I'm sorry, I voted yes for it, so I'm not going to change my mind. I just don't want to be in a position, shouldn't we? We shouldn't be in a position. If it comes from the staff, we get all the same memos, then we'll have the opportunity to go think about it, discuss with me what I've done, read the minutes and see what I missed. That way I can make a solid decision. Thank you.
Any further gap you want to speak up to this?
I apologize for that. I am ignorant of the process, obviously. And when we applied, it was for a grant, and then the CIB board was gracious enough to give it to us in a loan. That went to county council meeting because we have to have a majority vote on things like that. We discussed it, and we came to the conclusion that we really can't do a loan. And so the motion did not pass to accept the loan. And then I assumed that since it was, well, assumptions on my part, I assumed that since it was applied for as a grant in the first place, that bringing it back to the table, I didn't realize you had to. You went to staff. I apologize for that. My mistake. And I just want to make one other thing, just add a little bit of light. There's hopefully light, not clouded anymore. Yes, there's a lot of rock in Grand County, and when the rain comes down on that rock, there's also a lot of dirt, and that rain picks up speed and power and water, as you know, is very powerful. Takes that dirt and deposits it all on the road, and it runs down in a dirt stream right onto Highway 191, where we have lots of traffic trying to get through, and it becomes a hazard. And so we do have a storm drainage plan. I don't know if it says in the application that's $23 million. We've got a lot to work to do, and this is a baby step. But I do hope that you can forgive my ignorance of the process. And
don't feel that way. It's education for all of us.
And I appreciated your question.
We all do the same.
It helped me understand things.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion on the table, which is a $242,000 grant. Is there further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passed with $242,000.
Thank you very much.
So the street is named after you, Mr. Jackson?
It is named after my grandfather, yes, sir.
No wonder you'll find us there. Thank you.
Is
that a conflict of interest, counsel?
Our next item on the agenda to discuss, and we need a discussion on this, is Escalante City. They have a modification to their original request. I'll turn some time over to Candace, invite them to come up at this time, and Candace can give us the briefing on this.
Escalante City has an application, and if the discussion was had with the board for a new senior citizen center, they have a request on the table on the priority list for $430,000. Grant, $430,000 30 year at 0% loan. In their discussions, Garfield County had put in $300,000 as part of this funding package with their original request. In order to accommodate the loan and through discussions to do their due diligence on affordability and the ability to pay back the loan, Garfield County is not going to contribute that to the project. They are going to hold it and allow it to be used for loan payments, but in doing so, Escalante City, to accommodate the building of this, they are requesting a $580,000 grant and a $580,000 30-year at 0% loan. Same terms, just a little bit more to accommodate what was pulled, and then Garfield County can help them make these loan payments. So they request time to discuss this with the board, and if there are any questions that the board has concerning this, they are available.
Can you introduce yourselves for us?
Sure. I'm Mayor Torgerson. We appreciate the opportunity to come back with this request. This is vital for our little community. Without opportunities like this, we wouldn't exist. We appreciate this.
I'm Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner.
I'm Stephanie Spiegel, Commissioner.
So I know at least what was brought up in our review of this was whether the transient room tax would be sufficient to support a larger loan, because that's the dedicated source for the bond payment. Do you have an answer for that? Yes?
Yes, it was.
Okay. There are other questions from the board? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I don't have a question, but I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion, we grant the request.
Okay, so there's a motion from Commissioner Adams and a second from Mr. Zanotti to change the amount to a $580,000 grant and a $580,000 loan 30 years at 0%. Is that correct? If I stated that correctly, Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Any further discussion to that motion?
Okay,
Tom. Okay.
I don't mean to be talking in every situation. This shows us the means of paying back the loan transient room tax. Is transient room tax sufficient to handle the payments on the $580,000?
Yes, it is.
You missed that when you went over. I did get asked that question.
Talking to bond
council. I know, bond council. You're trying to get the answer over there, so that's good. It's good that we're all coordinating.
Right, on I apologize.
We're trying to be consistent.
Yeah, we are very consistent on that matter.
Can you think consistent in coming in the most?
I'll try to start using both ears rather.
Further discussion?
So, Mayor, what is the timeline on this? How soon we can get you to the project starting?
As soon as. Yeah, tomorrow.
And the mayor asked a question about the SHPO. Is it already clear? There's no problem.
Yeah, that was a contingency on it. I know it was for SHPO to sign off.
And they have signed off on that.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little bit of mitigation with them and just make up the funds they want to put in place.
Okay.
Motion before us. $580,000 grant, $580,000 loan, 30 years, 0%. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good thing you found the building.
Okay. Let's see if we can do items 7, 8, and 9 in one block here. We want to finally do a block, I think. This is the Beaver County Fire District's request, Town of Rockville, and Rockville Springdale Fire Protection District as stated on the priority list. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve from Commissioner Zanotti, and I'll give the Commissioner Masson here. So we'll give a second on that one. Any further discussion to any of those projects or that motion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are any opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, Rich County Special Service District. I think we have some discussion on this one. So we'd invite anybody here representing Rich County Special Service District to come up. We'll turn some brief time over to Candace for a briefing on this particular modification.
Thank you. Rich County presented a funding request for the Cisco Road improvements. At the time, they requested half grant and half loan. No, yeah.
Yes.
And the loan portion was a four-year 0%, and they had other funding sources that were going to come in after 4 years. The board approved this, but as a $2,231,000 grant, their loan request, as requested, 4 year, and divided the grant request into an additional loan of $2,231,000, 10 year at 2.5%. In discussions with Rich County, they have determined that a 10-year loan, which was a pledge for BNC Road Funds, was going to be difficult. They are asking for the board to authorize a 15-year term at 2.5%. 2.5% for that $2,231,000. The four-year term remains the same, but both of them need a deferral of the first payment to 2021. Did I say that correctly?
Okay, why don't you introduce yourself again to the board?
I'm Bill Cox, one of the Ritz County Commissioners. I'm the chair of the commission. A couple of things have taken place since our last meeting that I was kind of unaware of, but kind of my problem. The other is an opportunity. One of the things that's taken place that UDOT, we didn't realize that UDOT was doing, but this coming summer, they will be doing a milling overlay project in our county. And in the last year, when we did that milling overlay project in our county, we were able to buy the millings and put it on one of our county roads, or a couple of our county roads, actually about 12 miles of our county roads. And we're able to lay it out, roll it out, and it's actually close to being oiled road. That opportunity is coming up to us again, and it'll probably be about $500,000 project. One of the issues for us is that if we use $500,000, that $500,000 is committed to our cash match money for our loan. It would be difficult to replace that with our mineral lease money. That's our dedicated revenue source of our mineral lease money. The other issue that has come to light is we have to have 125% of the loan amount available, not just 100%, but 125% available. And our loan will be for the $2.2 million. Once that comes about, we're paying interest, and the principal is about $257,000. We are presently receiving about $210,000 in mineral lease funds. If it continues to drop, we won't have 125%. So we need to at least move that out to the 10-year loan. And I'm just going to throw that out there as a possibility of having that as a 15-year loan. I don't know what the possibility of increasing the grants by $1 million and that would free us the money up to do this road project, these road projects that are here before us. But that's the thing, this main road goes right through Ridge County. It's just a matter of taking that millings and just turning off the road and putting it down one of our county roads. There's hardly any haul miles, and it's a real opportunity. But we can't afford to do both. We can't take that $500,000 from those millings and short in this project. Just a thought, if there was a possibility of increasing the grant amount by $1 million. And reducing the loan amount by $1 million. I don't want to be ungrateful for what you've already heard, however. We're excited to do this project, and we've done a lot of work on this to get this started.
All right, further questions from the board on this? Sorry, let's go to bond counsel on this one. This will help clarify a few things, I hope.
The question I would have is the mineral lease revenue statute requires that you can fully pay the contingency result closing pay. So if there was a deferral,
you can accelerate the payments.
You're going to have, you say, deferred 5 years for the first payment, you've got to pay in 10 years. So the whole thing is going to be in 15 years. And I don't know.
Okay, questions from the board. Mr.
I have just a comment. In our last UDOT meeting, we traveled through that 12 miles of road that the commission was talking about. It's just one compliment to the commission and the community that they have taken something that's just sitting there as a pile. Almost part of that was supposed to take it away. But the commission decided to use it and make a road out of the used mill. That is a really complimentary to you, commissioner, and your community.
up and just given the meetings.
We did.
The next door.
Believe me, we've already given, the UDOT portion already given, that's what they do in the next portion of the road. And the commissioner didn't know that UDOT was already involved to do the extra road for them. So this calculation comes after the fact that UDOT involved. And they said, we're doing it this part of the Cisco Road, let's just do a little bit of addition while we're there. And that's what the commission is here to ask for some extra money to accommodate part of their portion.
So right now they've got about $6 million in loan in a package between the two loans, is that right? And 2.2 in a grant.
Yeah.
And you said in order to use the gravel that you gave you, it's going to cost you $1 million to set to spread it.
It's actually not you.
It's not even
you. We have to actually buy it from the contractor.
Oh, from the contractor.
It's part of the contract when we do that, and so when they do that, it's the contractor owns it, and we have to actually negotiate with the contractor to buy it from them. And it's an opportunity, and we will have the first opportunity to buy that if it's available
and,
to the contractor, if we can.
Just to buy the gravel will cost you $1 million.
No, it'll cost $500,000.
And then $500 to lay it, or what?
Well, the other issue is our payments. Even at 15 years, we're gonna have to pay that off in 9 years. With have 125% available of our mineral lease, and at $2.2 million, my mineral lease won't cover that 125%.
But if you extended it out to 15 years, you still end up having to pay it off in nine or 10.
Yeah, in 125%. My mineral lease is going to be right around $200,000, I'm hoping. And the payment's going to be between $225,000 and $250,000 on the $2.2 million.
And a combination, you wouldn't benefit you much to a combination grant loan on that extra $1 million that you're asking?
I would do that.
I'm just wondering if...
I know it's a big ask, and it's just hit me a cold. I realize that. I just thought I would ask.
If we could give you a $500,000 loan and $500,000 grant to do this additional project with the gravel,
it'd be great.
Would we still need to extend it to 15 years?
Yes, it would.
Well,
we came to deferral. It's still not going to make any difference. We still got to pay it off.
Or will this get you up?
Yeah, if we only had to pay on 1.8, you reduce to 500,000, it'd be just a little over. That would reduce our payment by a third, which would get us pretty close to having 125% in our mineral, what's coming in our mineral.
So let me clarify. I'm hearing, is it $1 million for this extra road project?
No.
It's $500,000. So even doing that, we would just be increasing the grant amount, $500,000, but that wouldn't change your loan amount that we have on the table, which is the $2.23 million.
Well, it would. That's what I'm saying.
Does this $8.3 million include the extra project that you
No.
Did?
No.
So it's an $8.8 million project.
Well, yes and no.
If you put the two together.
I would like to have that project separate. All I'm asking for is the ability to pay the $500,000, and that would reduce my payment, that I could make my payment and still pay the $500,000.
So let me say this. You've asked for a 15-year at 2.5% loan on the loan that was a 10-year. On both loans, we need a deferral to 2021. And if you take $500,000 out of the loan and put it into a grant, That leaves a $1,631,000 loan, 15 years at 2.5.
731.
And a grant of $2,731,000. And that would accommodate the ability to have enough revenue. What he's talking about in 125% of a pledged revenue source is that you have the payment amount of 100% of your payment plus the 25% buffer whenever you close a loan. So when he's talking 125%, that's why it is required of him that to prove that there is that revenue. So $2,731,000 as a grant, $3,870,000 as a 4-year at 0% loan, and a $1,731,000 15-year at 2.5% loan with all of that deferral of 4 years. Knowing that you have to have the 15-year loan paid off within 15 years of loan closing.
So, and on the loan of the 2.1.7, whatever it ends up being, my understanding is that we have to pay interest on that.
Okay. Interest will accrue from the time of closing.
And so when you start actually making a full payment on that, it's actually only going to be 9 years instead of 15 years. That's the real issue. We got to extend that out so that I can meet 125%.
You can pledge a different source. You can have a general obligation bond. You can go 30 years. But to pledge the mineral lease money, 15 years is the maximum term.
With that explanation, make a motion to accept it as request.
Second. Okay, there's a motion by Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Winterton. Let me see if I can state this all correctly. We have a $3,870,000, is it 4 years?
4 years.
4 years at 0% loan. A $1.731 million 15-year loan at 2.5%, and a $2.731 million grant, and the loan payments would be deferred until 2021. Is that the motion on the table?
Yes.
Sorry, Bill. What?
Both of them deferred.
Yeah, both of the loans, yes. That's what you requested. So the 4 years starts 4 years.
Yeah. Okay,
further discussion of that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Next time, bring us an easy one.
You won't see me for a while.
Pretty creative.
For anyone that has yet to come up, and you heard the discussion about inconsistency, there's a generosity quotient. We've exhausted today's generosity. It's all downhill from here.
All the commission out of here, Paul.
I'll take credit.
So I am... I need to step out for a few minutes. I'm going to turn the time over to Keith to chair the rest of the projects until I get back off of the funding list. And I think after the funding list, we'll take a break on that. So.
Yes.
Project number 11, Duchesne County Water Conservancy District, was requesting a $137,500 grant.
It was 12. 12.
Okay, my list is wrong. I must have the early version.
Okay.
What happens when you're co-chair instead of chair?
What happens?
Okay, so we have different things.
The board doc says 12.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
The agenda says 11.
It wouldn't change its numbering. We're getting that glitch out, but it is number 11 on your thing.
Here we go. You trying to sell us on board docs today?
It's our ignorance.
Running curve, right? Okay, next project is Orangeville City, which is a $13,300 grant for flood protection study. The next project is Green River City, which is a $2,000,470 request with $1,235,000 2% loan and a $1,235,000 grant. The next project would be Delta City Wastewater Study, $30,000 grant. So that's four projects. The chair will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Winterton and a second by, we're going to give this to Commissioner Ogden. Any discussion on the motion? You won. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Thank you, Councilman Farrell, for voting for that, even though you didn't get the second.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
do you want to invite
Delta City?
Mm-hmm.
What number are they?
Well, it's 14, 15, 16 maybe. I don't know.
We did the first
one. Depends if you're electronic or not, doesn't it?
If your paper is 15.
Now, we'll invite Delta to come forward at this time. And Candace, if you'd like to give us a quick briefing on what the concerns, issues, opportunities might be with them.
Yes. Delta City presented a funding package. They were kind of identical. The funding package for the wastewater plan was 30,000 requests, and they had their 30,000 match. And at the same time, they presented a 30,000 match to a 30,000 request for an actual fix of a project. On 3-15-1 of your paper, and probably in your board package, but I don't know what number it is in your board package, digital, there is a three-column indicator, the original motion, the as advanced, and a reconsideration request to have the board discuss funding as requested, the wastewater pipe replacement. They had authorized an extra $5,000 to accommodate a $65,000 loan. They would like the board to reconsider the $30,000 grant. They have their $30,000 cash, and that is what is on the table.
So if you'd like to introduce yourself, gentlemen, and tell us why you'd like that to happen, we appreciate it.
Well, I'm Gail Bunker, Mayor of Dallas.
I'm John Morrell, City Council.
Wait. This is an emergency situation, something we need to try to get done this fall. And our purpose of it is, if we go through the loan part, it'll take us a period of time because of advertising, public hearings, and other things. And we're getting closer to the time of the year when we can't do this project. We're going to slide the pipe in our existing pipe. So it has to be not cold. It's got to be warmer weather. And we feel this is an emergency situation. And that's why we're asking for the grant for 30,000. We'll match it with our own funds of $30,000.
And Mayor, that will be sufficient money to do this project.
Yes.
And that's based on an existing bid or a bid that's several months old and could change.
It's a bid that's within the last couple months.
So you're confident that will hold firm.
We won't come back for any more.
Okay.
Is that a promise, Mayor?
That is a promise. This project.
A promise from a politician.
We're best on this.
Not cool.
Any questions from the board? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say the problem with this particular system is where our sewer pipe is collapsing. We need to reline it. It's under our main street, which is a state highway, and if you know, state highways and wanting to dig and do things that's bad news, so we really need to do this job.
Thank you for that. Question.
I'd like to motion to approve it as the original application.
The $30,000 grant?
Yes.
Second. Got a motion from Commissioner Ogden and a second from Mr. Zanotti. Steve, your hands are slow. Excuse me, it's not a gunfight.
Oh, give it to him.
Oh, well, the second is please. Councilman Farrell.
Please.
Let the record reflect.
Please. And if you know that we're consistency, we're going to approve this.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Any discussions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We appreciate this board. They've helped us for many years. We appreciate all that you've done for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As they say, get her done. Okay. We will invite Eureka forward at this time to talk about some situations with their funding, and we'll turn time to Candace to tell us what that might be.
On 3-16-1, the staff review sheet shows the original application. As advanced, the board authorized half grant, half loan, with a little bit more in grant to accommodate the extra costs for bonding. The applicant is requesting a reconsideration of their original request. On page 3-16-3 in your paper copy, which we won't always have, there is a letter from Eureka, which the board did have in their possession, indicating their reason, and the subsequent pages after that, he can explain. I don't know what they are. But they are his finances, so it indicates that it is somewhat of a hardship, if not a big hardship, as indicated by Eureka City, to accommodate a loan at this time for this project, and so they're asking for a reconsideration of their $333,000 grant as requested on September 7th, 2017.
So, Mayor Castleton, if you'll introduce yourself and Ryan to the record and then tell us about the request.
I'm Nick Castleton, the mayor of Eureka.
Ryan Salvi, Scarborough Zone Rec Engineering.
I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you. I really want to thank Mr. Zanotti because as he questioned everybody about, well, what are you going to do later after this was put in, are you going to be able to afford it? He started looking at it and he said, well, we really need to start putting that money that's going to be, the loan that's paid off in 5 years, that really needs to be put into a fund to make sure that we have a fund already set aside for sewer and water. We just put in almost $17 million worth of sewer and water in the town, and everything is, you know, guaranteed for 5 years, expected to last 10 to 15 years. We're really uncomfortable with having that money not be set aside because it is water project money that is going to be freed out. And so we're really uncomfortable about having water project money. We took out $1 million loan. In a little town like Eureka, that's a lot of money. I've kind of appreciated the discussion that's been going on here this morning about contributing and non-contributing areas. I have a news article from Deseret News from 1926 that shows Eureka had put in $226 million into the economy of the state of Utah. Right now we're in a low slump and there's no mining going on, but we have three different mining operations looking at getting things going. This is mining. You never take too much for granted. You don't plan on it, but we can hope, and our hope is that within the next 3 or 4 years, we will be one of those contributing areas that the new mining district is looking like. With the price of metals and everything going up the way it is, we're looking pretty promising of having some real input into the economy of the state of Utah within the next 3 to 5 years. So we're hoping that we can beg for
a little relief here for a little while. We've contributed a lot over the years, and we're hoping to be able to contribute a lot more. And right now we're in a tight spot in the middle, and we really appreciate your consideration of making this a grant.
So, Mayor, in a real sense, you want $225,000 that you contributed in 1926 plus interest.
we have that plus interest.
The calculation matches perfectly.
My research is that between 1856, when you found ore in Eureka, and 1947, which mining was still going big, our mining contributed in today's dollars $12.2 billion into the economy of the state of Utah. And that's significant in those years, because that was, the state wasn't doing, didn't have a lot of extra money. Mining was the source of income from outside. It didn't export anything except mineral. And we're hoping to have that back again as minerals are up in, going up in value. Mining companies are turning away from mining, and some of these small foreign countries where they've gone in, they spend $1 billion getting everything ready and up and going, and when they get it all running, the government comes in and says, hey, thanks, get out of here, we don't want you anymore. And so even though the cost of production is a little higher in America, when they start investing, this is becoming a big, big, big concern, and the major mining companies don't like the idea of investing in these smaller countries that are unstable, and then telling them, goodbye, we don't want to, we'll take over from here. Thanks a lot.
That's
really happening a lot, and it's coming back. We see the movement around where they're looking at coming back into America and producing.
Yeah, don't ask you why, but recently I was reading reports of the territory from the territorial governor to the Congress. I said, don't ask me why. And it was interesting. Early years, it was mining, mining, mining. And it was interesting to see as we approached state that farm animals and agriculture are starting to pop up in the reports. And it was exactly what you're saying. It was all mining. And it was interesting to see over the course of a number of years how it started to diversify a little bit and started having some farming action going on. So I saw it firsthand.
Any legitimate questions?
I thought that was interesting.
Thank you for the geography.
Well, this is really pertinent to Ms. Norton. The first oil well ever drilled in the state of Utah was drilled in Mexican Hat in San Juan County, and that just blew up all over the state of Utah, and now it's ended up in...
What year was that?
1492.
Why they called it Mexican Hat?
I believe it was Spanish missionaries who drilled that well. The new Utah history.
The revised edition.
Yeah. There don't seem to be any pertinent questions, so after the pertinent motion.
Must be time for a break, Mr. Chair.
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman. To approve as requested?
As requested.
Second.
As originated.
We have a motion by Mr. Zanotti, a second by Commissioner Lytle, to approve as requested as a $333,000 grant. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, aye.
Yes.
Aye.
I'm making enthusiastic.
That's enthusiastic and quick. You could teach Councilman Farrell how to be quick. Very fast. Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. It's going to go a long way.
Good.
Anytime you're in Eureka, come on out and talk to the mayor about it.
Okay.
Give you a tour.
Just have an open house when we get this all
together. We can do that. Yeah. And we will invite every one of you to the open house. Because it is a very historic building.
Thank you. We're on break because the treasurer just got up and walked out.
take 15. All this for you to be in charge.
Yeah. Lucky.
Well, we just had a few.
I know. You know, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah,
I'm going to be recording 2 hours. Yeah, we just got out and walked out. I'm like, oh, I know him. I'm like, I know him. Right, let's get started again. Find your way to your seats. Okay, let's get started back up again. I want to thank Keith for stepping in for a few minutes and taking care of things.
We behaved fine.
I heard everybody got a grant after I left the room, so.
Pretty much. Hey, boss is not here. Spend the money.
Yeah.
Quick.
We're just trying to be consistent.
So we've got items 17 and 18 on the priority list. We'll accept a motion on these to approve.
Moved
by Commissioner Ogden, second by Commissioner Lytle. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, which brings us to item 19. We have not gotten an official withdrawal letter, so I think we need to just address this in some way, shape, or form. I think we've gotten
pretty clear signals that they're not amenable to the terms offered by the board. And this was, if you'll recall from our discussion last meeting, it was a $40,000 grant. They had it compiled some net cash from each of the communities participating. Look at my notes here.
Yeah, it's like
$120,000 of cash. The motion and approved put on the pending list was basically save your cash, we'll just do it all as a loan, 10 years at 0%, $180,000. So we have, we probably either need to put it on the pending list or do something else with it.
I'd make a motion that we put it on the pending list.
On the pending list.
I'll second.
A motion by Commissioner Winterton to put it on the pending list and seconded by Mayor Norton. Any further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah.
Or if they want to come back in and call.
So I'm told Gunnison City will be here shortly, but they're not quite here yet. So we'll move on to the second item on the pending project, Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. Skagit County Master Trails Plan. We'll invite those representing Seven County Infrastructure Coalition to come up. There was a lot of discussion, if you'll recall, the last board meeting over PILT and also whether the county should be the applicant. You know, those types of issues were raised. We've had, I know, a lot of communication on the PILT issue between the attorney for the board. Seven counties attorneys weighed in on the issue. I think you've all received those communications as well. I mean, bottom line, at the end of the day, Deschene County, or sorry, Daggett County is the one taking on the risk of PILT, you know, if that becomes an issue. So we will go to the board first if there's any specific questions that we want to follow up on as part of this discussion.
So if it is routine, ultimately Daggett County is going to take the chance of the reduction in the PILT?
Yeah, any county that is, you know, where this is happening, where it could happen, is the one taking the risk.
That's an underlying for any project.
Yeah. But yes, ultimately, this board is not at risk. I mean, we can make the grant. Daggett County is the one that would assume the risk on that particular thing. Any other questions directly from the board? Okay. Anything the applicant wants to add to the discussion from our where we ended last time?
Well, thank you. We just appreciate being here. We appreciate the thoughtful consideration from the board. Have had an opportunity to visit Daggett County. Our understanding is that Daggett County is very comfortable in taking on this project.
Can you introduce yourself? I know we all know you, but just for the record.
Thank you. For the record, Mike McKee, Executive Director of Seven County Infrastructure Coalition.
Christian Greiner, Deputy Carbon County Attorney, representing Carbon County, which is one of the constituent entities in the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. Eric Johnson, Counselor to the Coalition.
Great, thank you.
And this is a side note. You know, as we talk about projects that come from the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, I will just make this note. We believe these projects fall under the same category, essentially, as a special service district, an NOG, and sort of things. But in any case, Daggett County, the attorney and their counsel, or their commissioners, had an opportunity, and they sent a letter, if that's correct, sent a letter to CIG staff stating that they were comfortable with
and just from a disclosure standpoint, I'd say on the board.
Thank you. All right, there seemed to be a very long discussion last time, so we still have some discussion items or outstanding questions.
I don't know if I'm outstanding short of what you're prepared to bring.
So the commission of the Dagger County Commission has affirmatively voted on taking on this risk, or?
Yes, they have.
We did.
Yes.
So the applicant's not the seven counties?
No, the applicant is, but the one assuming the felt risk is Dagger County,
well,
so I think
that's. As any project, that, as I understand it, the county's always assuming that risk. And, it, and after trying to decipher some of the letters and not being an attorney, I am comfortable as our county attorney is with it, and the county commission has chosen to go forward with seven county being the project, knowing that there's benefits that would be occurring with Uinta County as well. So I don't know that we're not asking, this is a, it's a multi-layer project. We're not the only recipient of the work, and that's why it's in my mind, seven county was appropriate.
So I think one of the questions that came up was whether, why not just fund the study out of the original $5 million grant you received from the board.
And you know, that should be done. There's funding there. However, at the end of the day, you know, there is a limited amount of funding. There's a lot of work that we're doing, and so we were hopeful that we could get the funding there. We also, as we were talking in our discussion, we felt that we felt fairly pleased that the state parks were going to come up with a matching fund of $10,000 to be able to do the project.
Are they still going with the 50,000 at the beginning to start and then 50 when you finish the project?
Yeah,
and
it will be the same term that we've committed to the 400,000, and we've been told that the invoices could be held. One of the things we could do is we could backstop a little bit to 7 cents until the money comes in, but $400,000 could be available. Thank you.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve this as presented. We're going to discuss it for hours and hours with the commission. Lionel is okay with it. The county's okay with it. I believe the filter is going to be reduced by the amounts or whatever the percentage is.
Second.
It's a possibility, whatever.
So we have a motion from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $100,000 grant and a second from Commissioner Adams. Further discussion. So I just want to say for the record, I think we have, I mean, normally we'd expect of any applicant or any entity to spend down their original grant before they came back for more money. That fits within the same scope of the original grant. So I think it, you know, I personally think it makes more sense to finish spending out the $5 million grant and then do an assessment of where we're at and go from there. I think, and I realize it's a limited amount of funding, but you can always come back and once that grant is spent and ask for additional money for whatever purpose is in front of you at that time. I know we've got another $100,000 request, you know, in the next trimester that will probably be before us. And again, I think that can also be covered under the original $5 million grant. There's still money available to do all of these things, and that's, I think, an important thing to note.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just address that for a second, Carol. And this, because I want the board to understand what we're trying to do with the coalition. We are working hard to find as many partners and to make as much difference in economic, to help the public services, to do everything we can in our areas. But the application we're referring to is actually has with the rail study that will be coming forward. And actually, we do have on our agenda tomorrow for our coalition meeting to be able to approve $100,000 because we are seeking tiger grant funds of $1 million. We're quite encouraged that we may be able to get that. We're also seeking some funding from Colorado to help with that. We also have leverage in the industry. So we're trying to cover all of our bases the very best we can. We are trying to be as efficient and to do the very best job that we can. So I just want the board to know that's what we're doing. We're not just, okay, here's the source of funding. We are doing everything we can. And I believe in coming days the board will see some very exciting things that you will be very pleased with.
Do you want to speak specifically of why we couldn't just take this out of the $5 million? I mean, it sounded like you could, but that wasn't a real issue.
It could happen. It could happen. This is a request.
Okay.
Do you want us to revise that, or do you want to take that back?
We would prefer not happen to if you didn't need to.
My motion is for $100,000.
All right. Motion on the table to approve a $100,000 grant. Any further discussion?
I want to make a substitute motion. I prefer that we take that out of $5,000 if they're working on the $5 million they're already working on. And I'm wondering why Dad County couldn't apply for this directly if they're not going through the 7 County Coalition.
Okay, substitute. If I understand the substitute motion, it's to it would be to deny the grant request and refer the applicant back to using the original $5 million grant. That substitute motion is in order. Is there a second to that substitute motion?
I'll second it.
And a second from Councilman Farrell. Any further discussion to the substitute motion? Not, we'll take a vote on the substitute motion, which is to deny the $100,000 grant and for the applicant back to doing the project out of the $5 million grant that they have with the CIB, with the original grant. All in favor of that substitute motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we've got Councilman Farrell and Commissioner Ogden voting in favor. Those opposed to that motion, please so state. The remainder of the board, Commissioner Adams, Mr. Lytle, Mr. Zanotti, Mayor Norton, Commissioner Matson, and Commissioner Anderson. So that motion fails. We'll go back to the original motion to approve a $100,000 grant. See no further discussion on it. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So reverse the order on that one. That motion carries. So a $100,000 grant is approved, and we'll get working on that.
Thank you. We appreciate your support.
Yes. We have, I don't think, is Gunnison here yet? Okay, all right.
He voted
that he did disclose that he's on the board of 7-7. Okay, we'll invite Gunnison City to come up. Now, we'll turn some time over to Candace to do a briefing real quick on this, and then we'll hear from our applicant.
Gunnison City presented funding applications to sidewalk improvements in the Safe Kids Project, and at the time of the discussion, the board asked if they could assess the property owners for some of this, if this was property improvements. They have thus gone back and discussed it with their council. They're reading in their estimation that they have disclosed that there isn't an increase to the property value in discussing it with the county assessors. It's still a very much needed project. They asked the board to consider it as it was requested originally. And there is a letter on 4-1-4. Discussing the regional planner and staff, we all, discussed this, and they were going to withdraw it because they weren't certain of the funding, but it's back before you now off of the pending list. Rather than withdrawing their application, they really believe that it's a good project and would like the board's consideration at this meeting today. Did I say that well?
Yeah. So why don't you introduce yourselves and add anything to that briefing?
Well, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for having us again. I'm Bruce Black. I'm the mayor and Councilman Miss Blake Donaldson. She's on the city council. And Candace is, I think, gave an excellent city of what we discovered. When Blake and I were here last, you recommended and commended us to go back and find some kind of a value that we could attach to these adjoining properties. And we thought, well, let's be real careful. Let's do this just right and make sure that we get it careful. We get it fairly. And so we went to the county assessor and they helped us understand what that value ought to be. And his, from the county assessor, he said, in Santee County, we don't increase the value of a property based on a sidewalk or any other landscaping or other improvements. I didn't know that, but he says it may be more sellable, but in terms of us expecting it, it doesn't increase the value. And so, really in terms of us understanding how we can do that, at least those folks up and down there, it's critical that for us to justify if the county assessor isn't going to increase value any, how we can do that for them. And so we feel like, maybe it's a long shot, but so we felt like we approached that as well as we could and wanted to report that back to you. Let me just leave you again with the emphasis of this process. It has, for Gunnison City and for our residents, it has everything to do with safety. With safety of the, and in connection with the school, actually, this project initiated with the school some year and a half, 2 years, years ago, and we're following through. This safe sidewalk thing, rather than and I think there's pictures in there, you can see that. The kids walking up and down the street. The street's so narrow. We do have right away. We do have access for this potential sidewalk up the one side of the street. But again, for us, it's all about safety. I think in Santee County, as they prioritize, you've asked each county to prioritize projects that ought to come before this board, as a county, everyone determined that ours was a very important project, number two on their priority list, and so that's why we're here again. I've been before this board several times, but I don't want to waste your time with me spilling over and talking a lot, but I understand that this board isn't an entitlement board. I think sometimes we kind of say, well, we're entitled to this, we care about that, blah, blah, blah. It's an impact board. You base your givings and what you allow based on impacts from the mineral lease efforts. Genesis City. We have hundreds and hundreds of coal trucks going up and down our streets every single day. These are real impacts. When we clean our streets a couple times a year, we fill these great big giant trucks full of coal dust. It rattles the windows and the glass, and we just become used to it. But we understand that this isn't an entitlement, rather it's what impacts are you experiencing based on mineral lease extraction? We feel like we bear a pretty good one. Anyway, that's my little spiel. We come back, we tried to do what we thought we should do, and wanted to report to you, and again, just present the project back.
Okay, questions from board? Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor. Tracy Bouncing is gone. Are you lucky that he's gone? Because he would have asked you, can you afford to take loan? Part of this is a loan.
You know what? We probably could.
We probably could. In smaller towns, we prioritize things right to the penny. We are one of those small towns that if we have to and it's an important project, of course we will, and we'll do whatever we have to that way.
No, can you afford it? I mean, that's what I'm saying. No,
that
means you just take it just because I asked for President Nelson. Can you afford it?
No. Blake and I just reviewed our debt schedule. Denton City is in debt up to over $13 million based on new water projects, City Hall projects, Main Street projects. We are one of those little towns that's debt heavy.
You mentioned about the trucks that go through your community. Are they your own trucks? Some of your own
community? No, there's Robinson. They're the trucks hauling. The front of the mine. Yeah. They're the mining trucks. And the fuel drivers actually live there. But when you sit on our Main Street, you can count trucks. And trucks back and forth. It's a real impact to these three or four little cities that they experience.
Let's go to Commissioner Ogden, and then we'll go to Commissioner Lytle.
Mayor Blackman brought up a good point. The main track for these trucks is going right through Gunnison City every day. And it doesn't matter whether they're going to Levan or whether they're going to Kennecott. It's an impact to this community. They're all day long and all night as well. So I just want to bring that up. And it is certainly an impact to Gunnison City. The roads
that I'd make a motion to approve this as presented. Second. Okay, there's a motion to approve this as presented and a second, Commissioner Adams, but Commissioner Lytle.
Just I concur with the motion, and that if it being under $100,000, no matter what, correct in saying that typically that's not minimal.
Right. Any further discussion to the motion? So the motion on the table is to grant $58,500 as requested. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we already took the vote to place Panguitch on the agenda. So if they'll come up at this time, and we'll turn some time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
You've probably heard about the fire in Brianhead. Well, it's not without its continuing ramifications, and Panguitch City is one of the things that has been affected, their watershed. So their spring is contaminated with E. coli, and it's not an enclosed spring, and you can't treat for E. coli if you don't have it piped. So they need to find another water source. They have presented this to the Division of Drinking Water. The Division of Drinking Water does not have a significant amount of loan, and Lisa Nelson is here. Lisa Nelson is here from the Division of Drinking Water. The Division of Drinking Water has authorized a funding package to them, which includes refinancing a couple of loans in order to make it affordable. The City of Panguitch has considered it a decent authorized amount of money, but they really are in kind of a hardship situation because there will be big projects concerning this water in the spring down the pipe, no pun intended, where they're going to have up to a $5 million project looming. So what this is to seek an additional water source. It's an emergency situation where they need to act upon it. A loan requires some extensive time restrictions. They're asking for the board to consider
their request for 100% loan. It's 100% grant. Let the record show. 100% grant. There were a few questions that were asked by some board members, and so I posed those questions to the Division of Drinking Water, and they were good questions. One of the questions was, and if you'll indulge me, I will just read them and give you the answer so you don't have to ask these questions. Is it premature? No, this is an emergency situation as the brand hit fire, destroyed infrastructure, and contaminated their stream. Have they looked into treatment of E. coli? The treatment for E. coli is disinfection, such as chlorination, which requires an enclosed water source. What is the need to repair the spring and how long will it take? Panguitch doesn't plan on redeveloping the spring right away. They don't have estimates. Those estimates will probably be prohibitive. Well, not prohibitive. There will be a significant project, and they don't intend letting the water not be redeveloped, but in the meantime, they need a well. How much water do they need? They need a minimum of 500 GPM. And if the well doesn't produce that, then additional sources might be necessary. Can they increase the delivery from the existing well? So they do have a well, not sufficiently. Is the aquifer sustainable? That's unknown. Have they done due diligence for the location of the well? The well is part of the master plan for this community, so they've got that. It looks as though they have water rights of 2 CFS. And do they have enough water rights for the 2,000-gallon well that they're requesting? And the Division of Drinking Water, well, the plan is to obtain 2,000 GPM. However, the outcome is unknown at this point. Is there a close private well that they could use the same target formation, you know, and maybe buy water shares from them? The Division of Drinking Water would be unlikely to certify that water from nearby private wells would meet the new standards of public drinking water. And do they have the ability to pay for the power bill, which may be up to $10,000 a month to pump 2,000 gallons from a well? And the Division of Drinking Water, in recent financial analysis, finds that Panguitch has sufficient financial resources to fully fund their current and anticipated O&M costs. And with that, I will turn it over to...
Yes, why don't you introduce yourselves to us and give us your brief explanation of the request.
My name is Eric Halston. I'm the mayor of Panguitch. I should have just been doing the van of life and flipping through. But as you can see, that's what we had. That's what we have now.
There's so much snow already.
Anyway, the Brian Head fire came through, burned through our spring area. This is another before. Here's what it looks like now. Floods coming across from the runoff. Go back, talk about the fire a little bit. Dixie National Forest and their forest plan, they have it in their plans to protect the watersheds of these small municipalities. The earliest we can find, going back to 1991, is the first time we pointed out to them that we were in trouble and that our watershed was in danger. That's been continuously going on. They're taking no action. This is our second mark. The floods are coming right over the top of our boxes. That's the point. You can see we no longer need to mitigate the fire problem. It's been handled, but now we need to mitigate the drinking water and the flood issues, I guess, that we're having. Currently, our springs are contaminated with E. coli. There's been a lot of talk about we chlorinate our way out of it. Currently, the E. coli numbers were continuing to increase every time we've been testing them. I'm not sure our municipality is able to test the water to the level the state was requiring, both to meet the E. coli and the chlorine levels. I imagine it's some help from the state and could, but that was just the levels we first looked at. There's a lot of talking about we don't meet the 1.75 threshold. That's because we've been fortunate enough to have these springs. After we get a new well, I don't believe we're going to be in that situation. We're going to have to increase rates just to pay for power. And then we're looking at loans in the future to redo the springs. Currently, well, I'm getting long-winded, huh? Sorry. There's been a few times through the summer trying to exist on 40% to cut out all outside irrigation. However, if the power would have went out or we would have had a structure fire, we would have ran out of water. We would have had to truck water in or just wait until the well catches back up. But we can't shut that well off currently to try to increase capacity or see if it does have more capacity. We're kind of between a rock and a hard place right now. So,
okay. Do you see, want to introduce yourselves?
Tyler Hawkins with Aviation Engineering from Public Safety speaking. And again, I'm Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner. I represent Bainbridge as well.
Great. Questions from the board on this particular project? Yes, Commissioner Manson.
Do you currently have structural fire, water fighting capacity or capability? In other words, if you have a fire in town, can you take care of that?
Right now, it's what we do. It's slowing down.
Right. Has the federal government indicated any interest and support for what you need to do to recover your water supply? And if so, what's that going to take?
We have spoken with the USDA and the NRCS. Currently, there is no funding for their water projects. It would have to be appropriated again through Congress. We do have emergency funding requested through them, but at the current time, there is no funding. That's also a 25% match on any funding that comes through, and it's very limited in scope of what it can be used for.
I know your family members and can have their Houston.
When they come back to hang with their house.
Let's go to Mr. Zanotti and then to Mr. Heaton.
By way of my jurisdiction in UDOT, I've traveled through the Panguage and Drying Head, and I've seen devastation. But the day that I had a fire close enough to Panguage and they had evacuation, I was with the UDOT people. It was devastating that day. And since then, I've been there 3-4 times, it's being closed up. It's going to take, I think, 10, 20, 30 years before they can really get that vegetation and trees and infrastructure in place to protect that community, that beautiful community. And that's the only source they have there. I just feel that we need to be very compassionate today for that particular request.
Thank you.
Lisa, maybe you can address where DEQ's drinking water is at in supporting funding, et cetera.
Yes, the Division of Drinking Water is very supportive of this project. Ever since we were receiving a lot of problems working hand-in-hand with the city to rectify this situation to help them look at the redundancy back. We did authorize funding for this. With resources we had available, and it's in an attempt to mitigate the financial impact. But obviously the package that we were able to come up with does have some drawbacks, such as delays, like bonding, extending existing loans that we paid off in 6 years to 30 years. So we're very supportive of this project. The package, the vision prepared, was our best attempt to support the community, but we're also very supportive of the CID and fill the gap and help them out in more recent years.
So
So Mayor Houston, how does the CIB money complement the drinking water money?
If we would refuse the drinking water source of funding if we're successful.
And then would you go to them for some of the supplemental funding for other projects, chlorination, et cetera, et cetera?
Possibly. We have, as you know, we've got a, the springs are still another issue. We've got to come back and address. And there's pipelines that we're going to have to construct as part of that. And there's a lot of things that, that are unknown. So likely we're going to be back here and probably to them as well for additional projects.
Chairman.
Yes.
If there's no objection, I will not make a motion to accept the request. Because emergency is suspending funds.
Okay, so the request is $877,690 grant. Okay.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Mattson. I heard some over here, but I saw him, so I'll give it to him. So that is the motion. Any further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you so much. I will sleep a lot better.
The thing about this was is they predicted this over 20 years ago, and everything that they predicted and told Dixie about actually came true. So this is what's amazing. And yet Bengals is the one that's left over the bag.
Thank you. Okay, looks like we're on to our last agenda item, which is a board member discussion and or action items. We have one sub item here, and that's the board docs training.
And we have Mr. David Adkins here to answer your questions with board docs and do a tutorial for us. As you can see, the board is making an attempt at using it now. Hopefully they've all done the change me change. If not, I'm going to get in there and make comments on your behalf. Mr. David Adkins.
Well, good morning. I guess it's good morning, right, everyone?
I'm David Adkins. I am Senior Director of Customer Success with BoardDocs. And it's my pleasure to be here today. Provide a brief overview of the board docs service. And I'm not sure exactly how we should best do this, Candid. With everyone sitting at the head of the table, it might be hard
to roll
see.
Them around.
Yeah. So if we can have those of you sitting at the head of the table, maybe coming to this table, that would be
good. One, two, three. I hope you can all grab it. Here's the side. That computer over there is the one that's doing that. This on the screen is what he will be showing, messing with right here on the computer. Except that he's logged in.
Okay, great. Does everyone have their device? It looks like many of you are already logged into the system as well. I wanted to start from the beginning, if I could, and just give you a sense of what BoardDocs is, how you make use of the system, how you access it. Essentially, BoardDocs is what's called a board management service. And so the idea here is that, I know you've got paper copy with you today, but the idea here is that you can go completely paperless with your board use. So it provides a repository, for all of your important board materials to be stored, to be accessed. Also has a public component, so anyone who would like to view the materials can come to your board doc site, access the information, open the attachments that you make available, and so forth. Okay? Now, it works across a wide variety of platforms and devices. Works on, of course, Windows computers, Macintosh computers, tablets, etc. You have a URL that's assigned to you, and it may be hard for you to see this on screen, but I think many of you are already there. I'm sure Candace can distribute this, but that is your board docs URL that you see right here. It's boarddocs.com/ut/hcd/board.nsf. Now, you can bookmark this, you can create a shortcut on your tablet, whatever you'd like to do to access it quickly, but that's essentially how you get to the board docs site. Now, when you get there, those of you who are serving on the board will have the ability to log in with your username and your password. Candace has set up some temporary credentials for you, but you want to make sure that you change your password. Okay, that's going to be very important. This is meant to be a temporary password. But essentially what you do when you get to your site is you access authenticate, and then you enter your username and password in the two fields that are provided here. Okay? And then once you do that, you simply sign into the system by clicking the sign in button or pressing the enter key. And upon so doing, it presents you with the initial page in Board Doc, which is called the featured page. And let me dismiss this. What am I going to do? I'm going to turn this around so I can face you. All right. Okay? It presents you with this page, which is called the Welcome or Featured Panel. Now, what Candace can do as a publisher in the system is she can actually put materials here on this front page. There are none presented here right now, but over on the right-hand side, there's an area for featured documents. So going forward, as you have upcoming meetings, or as you have important policies that you may be discussing as an organization, important documents, those can actually be queued up on this initial page for ease of access. So you'll see some meeting links there, you may see some policy links there, et cetera. You can just click on the documents that you want to view, and it takes you directly to those documents.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
You're going to have teachers have a chain password.
You know what, I'll show you how
to give it to you.
Absolutely. And so this is what you'll see initially. Now, a couple things to point out up here at the top that are important to know is that there's a few little icons that you see up here. For example, the one that looks like a little home or house, that's the home link, which is designed to direct you back to your organization's website. So what you can do, if you like to do this, is you can actually create a link on your organization website and direct to your board meetings from there. Okay? And this completes that navigation loop and takes someone back to your website if you're elected to do that. To the right of that is a magnifying glass symbol, which is meant to indicate that you can search in the system. We're going to come back to that in just a few minutes. I'll show you how that works, but I wanted to go over the rest of the icons first. And then to the right of that is a little icon that resembles a person with an arrow to the right of it. You all see that? If you click on that, you're going to notice that it opens a menu. Now here's where you can do some important things, like, for example, update your contact information, change your password, log out, or access the Board Docs help material. So remember that everything that we're going to be covering here in this brief introduction is actually also found in Board Docs Help. And we offer 24/7 technical support as well. I'm happy to give you that number if you'd like to jot it down. We can also email it, Candace, if you want to do that. Should we do that? But for those of you who would like to jot it down, it is 800-407-0141. That's 800-407-0141. And that puts you into our automated phone system. You choose option one. That puts you directly through to technical support. Okay? Any of you can call. So you don't have to go through Candace necessarily to get your questions answered. You can contact technical support. We'd be happy to help you. All right, so let's walk through how we would change our password. If you select from this menu, Change Password, it's going to open up a screen where you can enter your old password and then enter your new password and confirm. Okay? You'll notice as you look on the right-hand side of the screen that your password must contain 7 or more characters, must contain at least one number, and your new and confirm fields must match. Now, if you want to use different password complexity, actually, it can be set up in the system. Canvas has access to what are called the option settings. So you can change that if you want to include special characters or more characters as the minimum. So that can change, but for now it's set up for 7 or more characters and at least one number. So you can enter your old password here in this field. Now, you don't necessarily want to do it today. I mean, if you're doing it now, that's fine, but you can do this later. And then you'll enter the new password that you want to use, confirm that in this field, and then you'll click the Change Password button, which will awaken once you have populated all of these fields. Make sense to everyone? You'll know that you've met the requirements because green check marks will appear to those requirements on the next to those requirements on the right. So you'll see 7 or more characters checked off when you meet that requirement. If you enter at least one number, it'll check that off. And again, if these fields match, it'll check that last requirement off as well. Okay? Everyone doing okay with this? Any questions about that part of it? Okay, we're going to move on. I'm going to cancel here, and we'll move on to another topic. Now, notice that when I click cancel, it dismisses that screen and takes me right back over to the featured panel in Board Docs. To the right of this icon, the icon that we were looking at just a moment ago with the logout menu. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention that, but this is where you log out of the system. So when you're finished viewing your materials and you want to log out, you simply click on that link and it takes you back to the authentication screen where you'd enter your username and password to re-authenticate the system. Okay? Well, to the right of that, if we move all the way over on this header bar to this icon, it has a menu associated with it as well. This is where you can access all of the meetings for your various committees. So you have what's called the Board Docs LT Plus version. So not only will it support access to your board meeting materials, but also any materials, any meetings that have been set up on a committee level can actually be accessed through that meeting. Okay? So the choices that you see there right now, Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, Olney Walker Housing Loan Fund. So if there are meetings associated with those committees or groups, you can make those selections and it will display all of the meetings that have been created at the committee levels. Okay? Questions about that?
There will be more.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a permanent committee.
Perfect. All right. So with that said, what I'd like to do now is to direct your attention to your meetings list, talk about your agenda structure, a few other things that you'll need to know. If you click on the meetings selection right here, you're going to notice that it displays all the meetings that have been created thus far in the system. So these are all the 2017 meetings. You've only got one. But as you move forward, holding additional meetings in 2017 and beyond, you'll see for each year, a banner or a bar display. So you can expand that bar and view meetings for 2018, for 2019. Going forward, they'll all be stored under the year in which they were created. Okay?
This is showing only the active meetings are showing. We have draft meetings. In fact, Shad has already loaded in next month's meeting. When they go active, you'll see everything.
Okay. So if you'd like to view an agenda, and I know many of you have been doing that during the meeting, you simply click on the meeting that you wish to view. That presents you on the right-hand side with something called the meeting dashboard with three choices. Notice down here you can view the agenda for that meeting. You can also print this agenda if you needed to, or you can view the minutes for the meeting once they've been created. Yes, sir.
Are you going to be able to delete when the time comes, because some of the list of the meetings you have gone through, or are you going to be stored? Otherwise, might it be deletion later on by the system?
No, they're actually maintained in the system for reference purposes. So publishers have the ability to make meetings private or public, or make them active or draft. They can move them around in Board Docs. And they also have the ability to delete them if necessary. But usually you leave the meeting record in here so that people can go back and search on it and access it. So what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to view this agenda. So if you'll click on that selection, you'll notice that it brings us into the agenda, which you've seen today. Many of you, if you've been using the system, along the left-hand side are all of your agenda items. On the right is your viewing area. So if you wanted to view one of your items, you simply click on it. And, of course, it displays all of the content over here on the right-hand side.
Notice that you can also navigate through agenda items by simply pressing the forward and back arrows. So if I wanted to go to the next item, I could click on this. Those of you that are using tablets, you can also swipe. So if you want to advance to another item, if you're looking at this area over here, you can simply take your finger and swipe in either direction, and it'll advance from item to item. See how that works? So you just take your finger and you swipe horizontally, and it advances from item to item. Okay? Great. Now, when you see this little icon to the right of the title, this is an indicator that there are attachments associated with that item. So you're going to notice as you're viewing the item over on the right, and if you scroll down just a bit, you'll see in one of the content fields, whether it's public, administrative, or executive, and by the way, there are both public and confidential fields in board docs. When you log in as a board member, you have access to all the materials. Of course, the public, when they come to your site, will see just the information that has been conveyed publicly. But you can simply click on one of your attachments, and you can open that up to view. So let me grab another one here, Google Minutes as an example. Looks like most all of these are down in the administrative area. Here's the one that has public, and that is Town of Holden Fire Storage Building. So if you wanted to view this attachment, you would simply click on this, and it would open that attachment up. Now, this is a doc file, so ideally, these attachments are PDF documents, so that they open up directly in your browser.
Yeah,
so PDF is the best format. So typically when you click on the attachment, it'll open that up. So are all of these doc files?
You can double click them and then they'll open. But
yeah, these are all docs. Right, so.
There's a PDF
or two. Yeah, if it's a document, it downloads, as you can see, and you can actually open that up in Microsoft Word down here at the bottom. But again, ideally if they're PDF files, they'll just simply open up in the browser so you can view them. So far, so good. Any questions about navigating the agenda, viewing contents?
Okay, as far as the administrative content out there, the executive content, there's nothing in that. If there was something attached to that, it would be over here in the search agenda, correct?
Well, it would be associated with the agenda item, but you would be able to view attachments at various levels, administrative, executive, and public. So all of the content will be here. When you select the item here, it displays all attachments at all levels.
Executive content down there, if you scroll down a little bit,
and
we kind of took the review sheet
and
populated that for easy, quick viewing.
Except that it's not real easy unless my pad's too old, because I can't, if it's wider than the normal page, if I start trying to bring it over, it wants to go. And then the other part is, this isn't very easy. And
it doesn't allow
to
scroll
down.
Here's the fast scrolling down.
It doesn't show, and then of course
open
dot doesn't show either.
Try with two fingers and see if that makes a difference. Nope.
Just the whole screen goes up and down, not just the.
Okay. Let me have a look at your device.
Move over to the edge, far edge, and it will start to do it. Just not sideways, but the up and down scroll.
It doesn't do it. That's right.
Okay. I'll come over and help you. Okay. Just a moment here. Oh. And one thing too. That I might mention is that we build tables, and we want to build those so they're dynamically sized, and that'll prevent the issue that we're seeing. So we're just cut off. So.
That's on table.
Okay.
What is this?
Okay. All right.
So now click on the actual
doc. No, but see, this is.
Well, right. But that's the same information that's in the doc. And it's not easy, but we'll build it in a table. That's exactly.
Yeah.
As we learn.
But the scrolling is very. Let's see, that one time it was doing but no, if I open this, all of this is in that.
Yep.
All of the exactly.
Even so you just copy the content?
Well, the public, because I can see, I mean, that's public information. In the administrative content, before you guys have approved the minutes, or in the executive content, we wouldn't put it public until you approve them. Or put drafts on.
So you were just putting it in there to copy it?
Yeah.
All right, so a couple of other quick things to mention here, and that is you can print information by clicking on this icon. So when you select that, It opens up. Now, on your tablet devices, right, you're not going to be able to do that unless you set up for wireless printing. But when you click on that icon, it opens up a print preview window. So you can print either just the item that you're currently viewing or both simple and detailed views of the entire agenda. Okay?
And quite honestly, with it not scrolling well, if you go to the print and then choose the view part of it, that solves most of that issue.
This is the window that displays the print preview. So as I mentioned, you can print the current agenda item. You can print a detailed version of the agenda, which is all of the information, including all the content that's been conveyed in the content fields that you can access with your user access rights. And if you're executives, again, you can access all the content in the agenda. Then there's also a simpler version of the agenda, which is basically just an outline of the agenda. It just includes the category names and the item names. So much simpler view. Okay? We're not going to go further than this, but if you were to click print down here at the bottom, it would display the print dialog box for your particular operating system, whether it's Windows or Macintosh. And then you can specify how many copies and what printer you want to output that to. But we're going to close this by clicking that close button down at the bottom, or there's also an X up here at the top of the preview window that you can close. And then that print preview window disappears. Okay? Now, another thing that you can do in Board Docs is store your policy documents. So to the right of the agenda selection, you'll notice there's a policy selection here. And this has an arrow next to it where you can view what are called active policies, draft policies, or retired policies. So ultimately, you'll want to get all of your policy information in here. And it looked like, as I looked at your site earlier, that you could access some sample content that's already been inputted here. So for example, if I chose active policies, notice that there are categories here for your policy organization. So if you click on administrative rules as an example and expand this, you're going to see some policy documents that you can see. You can simply click on the name of the document, and then over on the right-hand side, it'll display the policy concepts. Okay, so eventually all of your policies will be inputted into the system, and you'll be able to access that material directly from the Board Docs screen, and you'll also be able to search on it, too. So if you want to find certain information, you can enter that in the search fields and access whatever it is you're looking for. You're going to notice at the top of this panel there's a search area, so if there's something specific that you're looking for, you can type it in right here. And then it'll narrow the focus to just those documents that match your search. Okay? That's also true of agendas.
Will it highlight the word in the document?
It will not highlight the word. But it will also search down into attachments as well. Okay? Now, speaking of search, I do want to mention one other thing, and that is up here at the top, there is a magnifying glass symbol next to the home link. If you click on that, it opens up the search screen. And this is where you can enter a search term, and it'll display all results that match. So let's see something that's on the agenda here. We just heard from Gentleman Panguitch. So if you were to enter that, you're going to notice, if I spell that correctly, that all of the items, the agenda items and the attachments that have the word Panguitch in them, display on screen. So if you wanted to view one of these documents, you could simply click on the document that you wish to view. And when you do so, it pops it up on the screen. This is an attachment in this case. And then you can either navigate directly to that agenda by clicking the Navigate There button, or you can close this window by clicking the Close button. I'm just going to click Close in this case. Okay? If you decide that you're finished searching, the arrow that you see over here on the left-hand side that's pointing to the right, this collapses the search window and takes you back to the agenda view. So if I were to click on this, you're going to notice that disappears, and now I'm back to viewing my agenda. Right? So let's walk through that one more time. Once again, the search. All you do is click on the magnifying glass symbol, and upon so doing, in this field up here at the top, you simply key in.
There we go.
The search term that you want to look for, in this case, I'll enter Panguitch again. Okay. And notice that it's processing. That's the little arrows. Okay, did we lose our video?
It's not happening right now.
Did I step on a cable or something here?
All right, so I entered my first term, and as you can see, it's showing me all the results that match. If I see something that I want to view, once again, I simply click on that item. It displays it in the pop-up window so I can view it. If I want to navigate to that item within the agenda, I can click navigate there, or I can click close. Okay. How are we doing so far? Any questions about searching? All right. I'm going to click close. And then once again, to dismiss the search window, all you do is click on this arrow on the left-hand side, and it collapses and takes me back. Now, if I want to search within my agenda, so for example, if I'm already viewing the agenda here, and I decide that I want to look for Panguitch here, I can click in the search field as I mentioned earlier. I can type it in. And then I can press the Enter key to initiate my search. Oh, yeah, you're right. Probably not. And then if I enter this, it's going to show all of the results that match. So notice how it collapses the agenda down to just the items that happen to match in this case. So if I were to click on one of these, once selected, it's going to take me to that item. If I want to clear my search results, all I have to do is click on the X up at the top here, and you'll notice that it returns me to my full agenda view. You know that works? Any questions about that? So you can search from the individual panels, be it policies, be it agenda, or you can perform global searches, as you saw a few moments ago, by using that magnifying glass option. That will search across all document types that you find. Well, the meta, that's an interesting one. So let's go back to that for just a moment. Is there something that perhaps you've been discussing as a board that you would like to compare against other organizations that are using board docs? See, what the meta does is it searches outside of your board docs instance and searches the public information of other board docs subscribers. So what is a topic that you've been discussing, let's say, as a board that you want to research? Anything in particular come up?
Look at PNC.
What is it?
PNC, Rome.
Water resources?
PNC, Rome.
Ampersand P? Got it. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get results from that. Road?
Yeah.
We'll see. And then by clicking meta, what it's going to do is go out and search other subscriber sites and find results. So it looks like it did find a few here. Some of these are school results.
Yeah, but they have road in them.
Yep.
These are going to be roads and students. They're established in the state of Utah for a road that's either paved or gravel.
Yeah.
And that's the
Okay. Yeah.
So
water resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, water will hit a lot. But the idea here is that it's going to find results from all the other board doc subscribers that have your search terms in them and display them at the bottom so you can research what other organizations are doing on specific topics.
So think of some using this?
Actually we are. Yeah. Yeah, and other public governing bodies as well. Okay? Yeah, Utah Education Network, Tooele Schools. You can see that, again, it's looking outward rather than inward in terms of the results it's like. Okay. All right, and then once again, if you want to dismiss the search results, you simply click on this arrow to the left, and it collapses that window and takes you back to your main meeting view or policy view, whatever you happen to be doing. Now, one of the things to mention here that is noteworthy is you can share information by clicking on the share icon over here on the right-hand side. So if you select that, you're going to notice that there's an option to share by email. So if you wanted to email someone about a specific item on the agenda, and by the way, there are also options to share to Facebook and Twitter if you elect to open that up. But this allows organization or any individuals who are viewing your board doc site to share information about a specific page. So if somebody wanted to email someone about one of the items on your agenda, they could click that share link, and it would open up your email program, and it would include a link back to this specific board docs page so that they can reference it quickly directly from the email, okay?
Can
so there's social sharing options.
Okay. Can we cut and paste segments of the agenda item?
You can,
and
yeah.
And highlight it?
Absolutely, yeah, it's just HTML content on the page, so you can actually cut and paste information directly from the system. So how are you all doing on this? Any additional questions about how to navigate the agenda, how to search, how to print, how to access your attachment materials, anything of that nature that I can answer? I'll come around and help those of you who have the scrolling problems. What was that? I'm sorry.
Come back in another month.
Well, actually, we'd be happy to do that if you'd like. We're happy to come back and assist.
So what? The link one on the other side?
So the link one, that one actually captures this page's URL. So each page has its own web address or URL, and so you could actually capture that and copy that and paste it into another document if you wanted to link to that page from somewhere else, from another website or from a document that you may be creating. Yes,
go ahead. Candace, how do you plan on using the line that says executive content?
I just used it because that's what you looked at. That's anything that you guys would look at, you can look at it. Administrative is anything that can be changed by the administrators or the board docs, but I may be wrong. So what do all those things mean? What is executive content? Who has that?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Public, of course, requires no authentication, no username and password. So anything that you put in that field is accessible to anyone who comes to the public board doc site. Okay? The other two fields, administrative and executive, are accessible by those with different user access roles. So administrative may be people that work with Candace who aren't necessarily publishers, but may provide content for the agenda and need to view that while it's in the draft phase being created. Okay, they can view confidential content up to the administrative level, but they can't view what's in the executive field. You follow that? So it's kind of an intermediate role, if you will, intermediate access. They can see public, they can see administrative, but they can't see executive. Those of you who are serving on the board have full access to everything in the agenda. So you have executive level access. So think of it in this way. Public, confidential, highly confidential. Does that kind of help to differentiate between those? Okay. So if it's just something that the board should see in Candace, who is publishing the content, then that would be considered executive content. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You
have to have publishing rights in order to post something in board docs. So when you say you posted, did you use the share link or something to share information or?
Going to the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, just a link to a document. Candace is the super publisher.
Yeah. Who has publishing rights? Candace, other than you just Yeah, anyone with publishing rights can put information in the agenda. So do you have publishing rights then?
Yeah.
You do, okay.
Not super, just
publishing. Okay. And you said you posted something in
upcoming meeting.
Did you just post it just now or?
No, okay, it's on here.
Is it on there? Yeah, I'm doing the executive. There it is. It's under public. Yeah.
That was his program.
Uh-huh. Down the back.
So for everything that you saw today, we uploaded into the public section. Everything during the meeting was in the public section that everybody could see.
And generally, that's where most of your content would be placed, right? Is in the public area. Because you are, you know, obviously public governing body, that content, you know, usually needs to be public. There are some rare exceptions, I think, where content can be considered confidential, but, you know, that's something for you to consult with counsel about. But for the most part, most of your information would be public in nature.
I'm watching him access information on